You're listening to Cattails.
You're listening to Cattails, and I'm Cat. There are few female lead singers quite as formidable as Skunk and Nancy's Skin. Independent, striking, strong, just a few words that are frequently used to describe her. But when I interviewed her and Skunk and Nancy's guitarist Ace, I discovered a softer, more poignant side to her nature. This is the one with Skunk and Nancy.
So thank you very much for your time, because I know it's precious when you're getting ready. So perhaps what I might start with is the new album. What's been a difference in terms of the approach for this one compared to the previous five?
I think we have a much more kind of like analytical approach to it. You know, it was all about kind of piecing together pieces of music and experimenting to make sure we had the right piece for it. Whereas every other album we've done, we just walked in and recorded it live. This one we kind of did some rough, vague structures so that our producer knew what was verse, chorus and what was the mid-lay. And then we just kind of recorded it in sections, you know, and just kind of worked on pieces of the songs, developed ideas, and then we do something, we work on it, and then decide, actually, what if it was a different type of tempo, you know?
Right, okay.
Slow things down, made things faster, different kind of grooves, different beats, different guitar things, different loops. Much more electronic. We did a lot of sampling of loops of Mark the drums and of guitar pieces, flying things in. So we've not ever done that before in that way. And so it was
a bit of an experimentation, really, in a sense, when you kind of go in there and see where it takes you.
Yeah, we didn't know. I mean, we only walked in. I mean, I only had like four songs completely written. I had all the rest of the choruses done, bar about two or three tracks, which ended up, those are the tracks ended up not getting done.
Right. So do you think that's been a better approach than you've done previously? Or
it was more fun.
Well, yeah, I suppose you're less restricted.
Fun. It was scarier because we didn't know, literally didn't know what we were doing. And I think that it also made it a very kind of social it made it more of a communal approach, because normally people do their bits and then you do it, record it live, get the vibe, get the best take. And then we go in and fix things, you know. And then me and Ace will just be left recording, you know, guitars and vocals for weeks on end, and Mark and Cash haven't really got anything to do. And this time it was like, you know, well, if you're not there, then your opinion is not going to get in there.
That's so fair news.
Everybody was there all of the time.
It was kind of, the cool thing about it was also, because we were all in the same place at the same time, we're quite a social band in ourselves together. So we'd all go out to dinner with the producer and the engineer at the same time, have dinner, talk about stuff, and then come back and change things.
It
was really productive in that sense, because we'd be working all day, and that little break where we all kind of ate and drank and had a quick chat, we kind of came back with a new approach.
Refreshed.
In the evenings. So the evenings became really experimental. You know, they were probably the most experimental times, because through the day we were kind of working on ideas that we'd had the previous evening. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So they were really good. It was it was a great break in between.
So that fluidity kind of helped with the end result, because it gives you time to move in different directions,
and maybe
a direction you may have not expected.
Exactly,
which is quite interesting.
Yeah, and I think it was just very good to have a very open mind and do everybody's idea. Sometimes you think, oh, it's not going to work, and you try it. It works.
Give it a go, see where it goes.
Yeah. I mean, there's no such thing as a bad idea. That was my motto. And you never know till you try.
In terms of like the content of it, it's quite a rebellious album, isn't it? You know, in terms of stating a statement,
a stroppy album.
I like that. It's a stroppy album, making a statement against establishment, and really that's what the band is known for to a great degree anyway in the whole of your history, isn't it? Do you think this is slightly different to the approach again you've taken in terms of attitude?
Well, you know, I'm not sure if it's anti-establishment. I think that I'm not sure really what that means anymore. I mean, I think it's more like a band talking about issues from a very personal individual standpoint, and the standpoint of just like a community of like, this is all what our community and are flowing through, and it's just a lot of these songs are little sections of their lives. In our stories, I think there's a common ground with lots of people around the planet, not just in England. There's a common thread that goes through lots of different cultures, lots of different countries struggling and having the same issue and having the same, you know, what we're doing, when we're not really. They don't really know what they're doing. So that's really what the songs are about, and I think that keeping that personal kind of standpoint has resonated with lots of people.
Absolutely.
Because we are the same as everybody else. We're not like, I've got a helicopter on my lawn. So it's kind of like, you know, we're just the same as everybody else,
Absolutely.
Having the same things.
Yep, it's all degrees of struggle, isn't it? Which is a little bit about the charity that you've been, you're going to be auctioning stuff for. Is that one that's close to your heart, the band's heart, or just yourself?
Yeah, I mean, it is. I mean, I think that I think there's so many things that you can get involved in, and we just get involved in things that mean something to us, you know. Mm. So Mark has his Riders charity, and he gets on his motorbike. And this is for the Babe Up survivors, you know. There are people who have been children at raid camps, girls have been, you know, when they make them kill their whole family, and then they're just treated. And so it's a charity, yes, actually. Mm.
That's great.
And it's kind of interesting because it's, you know, it's not like a nice little family children's charity.
Yeah.
You know, it's something that's actually like genital mutilation, another difficult topic, needs a lot of support. So it's not an easy charity.
And do you think it's important for bands to actually take on that sort of role of actually pioneering and having the voice of people? Because a lot of people haven't got that.
No, I think that you should just do what's natural to you, you know. I think that you should do what you feel in your heart. If you don't feel something in your heart, then you're just kind of faking it. And I don't think that everybody has to do. It's like a moral thing that everybody has. I think it's good for your soul and your spirit to be involved in charities and to be involved in not just charity but being, you know, like giving something back. You know, Ace and Mark do a lot of theory and stuff
like
that. I think it's good for your soul, but I think you should be true to yourself. If it's something you're not good at and don't know how to do, then
what's the point?
What is the point? Yeah. You're just kind of. People in those things need real people who really care about them.
Yeah.
They don't need people who are doing it for the wrong reasons because, you know, they feel they should.
You've got to be authentic about everything you
do. You're authentic, and there's nothing wrong with not supporting charities. I don't think anything is wrong with supporting charities. I think you should be real.
Absolutely. And you work with children, did you say, actually, in terms of teaching them?
Well, not so much children. I mean, I taught a lot of students. I've worked in a college for a few years, and I had a lot of students doing things like that.
Yeah,
but me and Mark, we both do master classes as well, so we go into schools as well as colleges,
right?
You know, and things like that. Yeah. And so we're always around people doing things like that, you know.
Giving
and
a bit back, isn't it?
We have our, you know, I've got my own thing where I support Save the Children, but I don't do it in the band, I just do it in person,
yeah,
you know, things like that. So we just what we said, like what we actually feel, you know. I've actually donated a master class lately to Chicken Shed and things, so that's one. Of my things.
And we just did a big gig for Facing Charity called Seaview as well. So.
Right, okay. So you're actually really active in that area. That's really great.
Well, it doesn't really feel like it. It feels like we don't do enough. It doesn't really feel like, I think we talk a lot about it in interviews, but you know, it doesn't feel like we do really enough.
No, well, I suppose everybody feels a bit like that, don't they?
As long as you're doing something.
It's better to do something than nothing, isn't it?
Yeah,
I think, you know, if you've got a voice, it's good to be heard, isn't it? And I think that's important. What I was going to ask you about, you know, this is kind of like your second time around almost, isn't it? Because you had a nice, sort of like a 9-year break, didn't you? Do you think that was good for the band, or has that been a bit, was it quite hard to get going again when you got back together in 2009?
I think it was easy for us to get going again. I think it's a hard step into the industry again. Absolutely. As a band, you know, we never left it as individuals. We all did albums, we all were involved in music still. But I think as now we're seen as an older band, we've stepped back into an industry that, like in the 90s, you know, people weren't so obsessed with youth.
Yeah.
The certain sections of society were, but radio stations and whatever, you know, weren't so obsessed with youth. And now it's kind of like everyone's obsessed with it. It's suddenly been told that you're too old all the time. Which is kind of like, really? What? How can you be told to do music?
I mean,
blues and opera and all these amazing genres, jazz. I mean,
it's a life career, surely.
You know, it takes you 20 years before you can really play an instrument well. And for me, certainly my voice is like a hell of a lot better than it was in the 90s. But it's a whole new instrument. And that takes years, 25 years of singing.
Yeah.
So I think it's hard in that respect, you know, to don't get the same things that you would, even though in terms of quality of
that's
music,
the thing,
you know, that we're putting out, you know, you don't get the same kudos. But at the same time, you know, where a lot of things are easier, the internet's made things a lot easier. That whole, just the internet on its own has given rise to social media, as you say, all those pain in the ass as they are, you know.
Yeah,
it's not as kind of consuming as social networks.
Yes, I know, isn't it amazing?
Too much people talking absolute bollocks.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's a really good way for you to market to them in ways that you would want them to market to. This is a really good product, it's a good album. You think not just you should have because this is cool.
Yeah, you know? That's right. So it gives you more freedom, doesn't it, really?
Power.
Yeah. And what about your, you know, you're now on your own record label as well, aren't you? That again kind of goes on from that power aspect, doesn't it?
Well, that's the way you can do it now. You can have your own label now because you can seize the power and advertisements and everything all yourself from the social media.
Mm.
And that's basically what's driving everything.
Yeah.
And as we know, it's not rocket science. It's just sitting there on a computer all day and night. And so that's why it was obvious to us to do a label because we had so much experience of been signed and all these different things, we kind of knew how to do it, really.
Yeah.
And we could only do that after a long time being in this business. And then it kind of became apparent, well, why don't we cut out the middleman on a lot of things and take over the jobs that we can do that?
Yes.
So all of a sudden, we can do our merchandise, we can kind of do our marketing in a way with a few people because we know what we want. We can make the videos, we can get them serviced really quickly, we can pick our own singles, we can sell the record where we want to sell it. And so it's things like that. It's knowledge that we had now that enabled us to do our own label. So, you know, in the long run, it's difficult to set it up because financially, all of a sudden, you're paying for it.
Absolutely,
and someone
everything,
else isn't,
that's right.
You know, so it's not like that. But if it works well, you know, your survival in the industry is really good.
Yeah,
because all of a sudden, you're making a lot more money than you used to, which propels you to survive, because you need to make money to survive in this business.
I think it's very different if somebody gives you £1,000 to go shopping, or you have £1,000 of your own money to go shopping. You know, it's a very different attitude, isn't it?
That's
so
a good point.
Us having our own money to go shopping with, you know, wisely.
Yes.
You know, and having a record company have our, this is band budget, you know, this is recoupable.
It just flutters away, doesn't it, really?
Yeah.
You know, it's a different attitude when it's not coming at you.
The dynamics of the band then have to come into play, I guess. Who, you know, do you have a decision pecking order, or is it a democratic situation? How do you work out what you're
going
to do?
I think it changes. I think, like, for instance, Ace does a lot on more on the business and the you know, the kind of, there's lots of decisions that Ace and those don't really even come to us, because he knows what we're going to say and he knows what we're going to think, you know, after 10 years.
Yeah.
Well, the same as I agree to what they're doing. If they're doing creative stuff, they're talking.
Yeah, me and Mark do a lot of creative stuff and Cass, and Ace just goes along to it because he knows that's their corner. They, you know.
Yeah, just tell me where to go.
Yeah.
Like, for instance, we're making a video and they said they wanted to co-direct it and all that stuff. And I'm like, okay, I'll turn up, you tell me where to stand.
Yeah.
Scenario. And then, whereas then, you know, I might be sorting out a new online store and a merchandising thing, and I think, right, okay, these are the decisions that the band have to make. There's a design, there's a this and that, but where it's going to be marketed, licensed, and all that lot, I can kind of get on with it, and they'll just go, great, you do all that.
Everybody
gets that trust.
It's stupid to everybody to be involved in every tiny little decision.
Yeah.
You should be able to delegate, and if someone, it's their job, you know, it's my job to sort out the album cover. You know, okay, Cass is going to take the picture, and then me and Cass work out what it's going to look like, and then you know, these are the options. To be quite honest, there's things that Ace just talked about with licensing. I haven't got a fucking interest in that. I've no interest in licensing.
Yeah.
But I'm really interested in the video, in the artwork, in the creative, in the album, in the producer. I get involved in the things that I'm excited about.
Absolutely.
And Ace gets excited.
And all together it comes together as excited, really. Exactly. It's good. So, obviously, the music industry's changed a lot in that time you've been a part. You've got great opportunities with the internet. But do you think the business has changed for the better or for the worse?
It's changed for the better, I think, because any new band now can have their video out on YouTube to millions of people watching it instantly, whereas in the old days no one knew about you.
Yeah.
You kind of could be happened for 10 years and no one would ever have seen you.
Yeah.
Whereas you could be together 6 months and the whole world's seen you.
Yes.
So the power is there, the power of all these things. You can make a video on your iPhone if you really wanted to. So technology has made the business more accessible for new bands, but it's also flooded it, so it's a lot difficult for everyone to kind of get through because there's so much choice, you know? So in a way, I think it's better. What's worse about it is the fact that the way that bands are making money now, a bit like the old days, is from the live shows.
Yes.
But the fact is, because there's so many bands, when you're a new band, how do you make any money out of playing live? Because no one wants to pay you.
No, that's right.
So, you know, it's not so bad for established bands because they've got their fan bases, a lot of records, they can sell tickets. But new bands, even though they can get all over the internet and they can get their stuff out and give their music away, to actually get paid for a show, which is the way that they live at the end
of
the day, is damn near impossible.
I think that also, I think the other side of it, though, is that people are much more obsessed about new music, you know, and they're much more less obsessed about bands that have had one or two albums out. So I think that if you are a new band and you do good work and you do have a good album or good couple of songs or EP and a great video, great image, if you can get that stuff together, people will find you.
Mm.
Because there's people that I know people that are just obsessed about trying to find the next thing. And they listen to every crappy little demo. They go through every new thing that comes on YouTube. They're just obsessive. So, and then they're waiting for this gem to pop out, you know?
Yeah.
So I think that in some ways, I think it's good for bands because it's kind of like you have to have all your shit together very quickly, very early on, and I think that if you do, you know, people will discover you, you know.
Yeah.
But whereas before, you could have one good thing about your brand. So you've got a sexy lead singer, and then the whole company cleans it all up, sorts it all out, throws it, decides what you're going to, and then churns you out at the other end of the tube. But now, as an artist, you have to have it all done yourself. Image, look, your songs, your sound, and whatever. So it's a lot more, I think, for there's a lot more work that has to go into it as a new brand. But you're only going to do that if you really love it and really dedicate it and really don't. You just haven't got the time and energy. No. You know, and if you haven't got the talent, it's just not going to happen. But I do believe there are people there just waiting to pounce on those.
The next thing.
about, well, you know, if you're good, and you'll stick out.
Brilliant. Let you go. I've got one last question, though. I asked my Twitter followers, I was saying I was speaking to you guys, what, any burning questions? And the only question they came up with that was repeatedly said was about Youskin being a strong female role model, which has no doubt been said to you many times, actually. How do you feel about being described like that?
I mean, I have a mixed reaction to that, because, I mean, we wrote a song about it, Hope You Get to Meet Your Hero.
Yep,
you know, that it's kind of like... No, role models, I mean, people who set themselves up to be role models invariably end up being huge disappointments. Because, you know, you put these people up on a pedestal as being absolutely amazing, and then they go and shoot their girlfriend through the bedroom, bathroom door.
That's it.
You know?
That's it.
Or they take a whole load of drugs and win 9 cycling titles.
Yeah, absolutely. You know? Good topical answer there, I love that.
Or they, you know, shag everything they can and go and play the family golf match.
Yeah,
you know,
that's it.
I mean, these people put themselves up there as being, like, role models, and they, you know, and I just think it's really unrealistic to put people on a pedestal like that. And I think it's unrealistic, you know, the whole role model thing is a little bit unrealistic, you know. I think a lot of people really, I mean, there's a story I heard recently about Radio 1D, you know, terrible, and the one that you think is the most cleanest, most innocent, most, and actually behind closed doors, what fucking horror.
I know, this is
and you know, it's the old Jimmy Savile thing. It's like, you, I think that a lot of role models are really quite disappointing to people, and I'd rather not be like that. I'd rather be an inspiration. I'd rather be the reason why somebody picked up a guitar or stood in front of a mic or decided to write their own songs. I'd rather be part of a whole plethora of different inspirations. Oh, look at Skin.
Yeah.
Look at Blondie. Look at Skank and Nancy.
Yeah.
Look at Rage Against the Machine. Look at Nirvana. Put them all together and they inspire people to
Absolutely.
Do their own thing. I'm not that... It's not that sexy to me to be a role model. Kind of like perfect pillars of society. There isn't such a thing, and you put people up there, and especially in England, and people love to break down.
Don't they just?
I'd rather not put myself up there as that.
Yeah.
You know, it's not me anyway. You know, I'm not really a role model. The things I've done in my life.
Shh. You've been listening to Cat Tales. To listen again to this and other tales, go to cattales.co.uk.